1.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
Hey, what's up? This is Michael Tate with the story of a Jesus freak who was ready for the worst. Pastor Lee knew he was being watched by the Chinese Public Security Bureau. He knew the risk of preaching at the house church, as he did every Tuesday. Pastor Lee had been arrested many times and beaten to the point where he vomited blood. Once he was beaten with his own Bible. He also knew Chinese citizens can be sent to labor camps for up to 3 years without a trial. So he was ready. He even had a bag packed with a blanket and extra clothing. Still, he preached that night without fear. Sure enough, armed officers burst through the doors and arrested him. Lee was ready. Are you?
For more on the Voice of the Martyrs, go online to persecution.com.
I know somebody who declares he's got it made. He won't admit it, but it's just a masquerade. He's a modern-day deceiver with a case of false fever. It's a game. And then this dear old sister, she's sweet.
Oh, yes, she is.
She gets the word next thing you know. It's in the street. By the time it's been repeated, all the truth has been deleted. What a shame. Everything we hear is just a tale. But I've got something that will never ever fail. It's gonna
spread love.
Oh, it's gonna spread tonight.
Spread love.
The truth is in the sky. I'm hoping sailor could open any door. Oh, but I wish we had much more.
More love is what we need.
With a twisted sense of vision,
they treat rumors
like religion. No, what a shame. It's the same way of these days. It seems like everything we hear is just a tale. I believe in something that will never fail.
Spread love
instead of spreading lies.
Spread love. What the world needs now.
I'm telling you, love is what we need.
More love is what we need. What the world needs now.
We need
more love. More love is what we need.
Dum, 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 dum.
Spread love.
Dum, dum, instead of spreading lies.
Dum, dum.
Spread it.
Oh,
spread love.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Come on, let's hear it for our choir. All five of them. They sound good, don't they? Somebody say, you don't need a lot, just use what you got. God will take up the slack. I want you, as you stand on this Sunday morning, and Brother Rosette, if you, I know you changed a little something on my mic, but if you'll just give me just a little more high, just a little, amen, and give me a little more monitor, we'll be all right. We're going to go back a couple of Sundays. Y'all will recall the Sunday that your pastor took too much medicine, and we had to cut the sermon short. So I'm going to try to preach the rest of it. Amen. If you'll turn with us to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to look at verses 41 through 46 again. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. For there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. As you take your seats, we want to continue this journey on this topic. I'm in a process. Amen. I'm in a process. Amen. Don't give up on me. What is that old saying? Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Amen. I'm in a process. How many of you can say that's your testimony too? I'm not 100 yet. I'm not everything I want to be. I'm not even everything I ought to be. But is there anybody that can say, thank God I'm not all that I used to be? But if you just keep encouraging me, if you'll just keep, amen, inspiring me, amen, you will see that God will complete his perfect work in his own time, but I'm in a process. And so we established that a couple of Sundays ago, that this whole reality that as believers, amen, none of us have arrived yet. As a matter of fact, I told someone the other day that as long as you're wearing that flesh, you're going to mess up. Amen. God knows. He knows that he made us, this flesh, from the dust of the earth. Amen. And so I don't care how cute you are. I don't care how rich you are. At the end of the day, we're all dust. Amen. You may be cute dust, but you're dust. You may be rich dust, but you're dust. You may be educated dust, but at the end of the day, we're all just dust. But thank God for this treasure inside of us. Amen. This treasure, the Bible says, that is in earthen vessels. God puts something in us that makes the difference. And so we want to continue this journey of I'm in a process by talking about the fact that a part of the process is warfare. part of the process, amen, God understands that all of us are not going to get to perfection or not going to reach completion on a bed of ease. Some of us require some fight along the way, amen, in order for God to get us to where he's trying to take us. And so I regret this morning that my assignment is to wreck your illusion and to upset your daydream, but I need to tell somebody listening to me right now that the church is not an eternal party where all you have to do is run and dance and holler and have fun and celebrate. I wish that that was all there is to being a Christian and being a part of the church, just a party all the time. Amen. They even got us saying in church now that ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party, because a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Amen. But I come to burst some of your bubbles and remind you that in this Christian journey, you will have to fight sometime. I need to tell you that there's an enemy to face. I need to tell you that there's a strategy to pursue. There's an objective to obtain. There's an agenda to achieve and a discipline to master. And once you get that down in your spirit, it changes your perspective upon the meaning of the worship celebration. Once you realize that you are sure enough in a fight, nudge your neighbor, point to your neighbor, wave at your neighbor and say, "We're in a fight." Well, when you get that ingrained in your heart and in your mind, suddenly you begin to understand that good preaching is not about who has the sweetest hoop. It's not about who has the best moan, the friendliest cliches, or the loudest holler, the smoothest style, the sharpest suit, the best clothes. You'd be amazed at the stuff folk get caught up in as it relates to preaching. And I think that in a lot of regards, that's why the Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching, because a lot of folk get wrapped up in all the wrong stuff, when what we ought to be wrapped up in and tied up in is the word that is being brought forth. Where are my folk who are students of his word? And you know that his word is a lamp unto your feet and his word is a light unto your path. And we need to understand that if we're going to fight the good fight of faith, yes, it will take faith. That's one of the best arsenals we have against the enemy is our faith. The reality is that you begin to even understand praise differently when you know you're in a fight. I said, if you don't know you're in a fight, then you got praise twisted. If you don't know, amen, that you've got an enemy that's on your trail, that's on your tail, that's trying to take you out of here, then you get praise twisted. You're listening for sweet harmonics. You're listening for who can reach the highest note. You're listening for all the wrong stuff. As a matter of fact, some folk, they will leave here saying, "Didn't the choir sing good today?" Amen. They missed the message of the song. They missed the message of the praise because they ain't fighting. But when you're fighting, praise takes on a different connotation. It's not just about the choreography of the choir. They dipped on the last note. It's not about the excitement of the soloist and how many runs and rips they did. But what praise is, when you know you're in a fight, you understand that your praise is a battle cry. I'm shouting on Sunday to let the devil know I ain't dead yet. I'm shouting to summon the assistance of the angels to help me in my struggle. That's why I'm singing so loud. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm singing loud because I want to, number one, let the devil know you tried it, but I ain't dead yet. Number two, I want to let the angels know, here I am, send some help. Here I am, I need your help right now. I'm shouting as an acknowledgement that all of my help comes from the Lord. Am I by myself? And I recognize that I'm in a fight. I ain't dead yet. I'm in a fight. And often people who are around you and people who hang with you will not even realize, and they don't even know you're in a fight. Amen. Because we're still shaking hands. I'm still smiling. I'm still giving God praise. And as you live the life of faith, you discover that if you're going to survive, you've got to have faith. Let me hear everybody say, we need faith. We need faith. I know I'm in Bible country because Hebrews 11:1 says, now then faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good report, and by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were made from things which are not seen. By faith the concrete was made from the abstract, and the tangible emerged out of the intangible. Faith, this secret weapon of the believer, is so relevant, it's so critical, that at least five times in the word the text reminds us that the only way to survive, the only way to thrive, the only way to stay alive is as a child of God by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Five times in the Bible, it says and declares that the just shall live by faith. I come by to tell you this morning that once you realize you're in a fight, you need to pick up your weapon of faith. Where are my faith walkers? Where are my faith talkers? Where are my folk who know that the only way you made it was by faith? Where are my folk who know that the only way you got healing in your body was by faith? Where are my folk who know that the only way you saved your marriage was by faith? Where are my faith walkers? If you walk by faith, you understand that you've got to live by faith. Reverend Garner said you've got to live by faith, not by finances. You got to live by faith, not by fraternities. You've got to live by faith, not by families, not by friends, not by association, not by denomination, not by organization. The just shall live by faith. If you've got faith this morning, I want you to stick your chest out and say, devil, you thought you had me, but you forgot that I am a child of God by faith. I'm going to make it by faith. I can take it with faith. Give God praise this morning. And I don't care what anybody told you. I'm going to came to tell you, faith is not contagious. I said, it ain't contagious. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, just because your mama got faith don't mean you necessarily caught it. You can't catch faith from just hanging around with people of faith. You cannot obtain faith by imitating people who've got faith. You cannot catch faith simply by dressing like somebody and talking like somebody and acting like somebody. Faith is born out of a personal, experiential walk with God. You've got to walk with him for yourself if you're going to develop your faith. Can I tell you why? Because when he heals your body, amen, you don't have to rely on anybody else's faith. You can stand flat-footed and say by faith, I know him to be a healer. I know him to be a doctor. I know him to be able to pay your light bill when you don't know where the money is coming from. As a matter of fact, your money is funny and your change is strange, but I learned by faith that God will make a way out of no way. Give him praise in this place. I need to also tell you that you cannot measure a person's faith by the length of their car. You can't determine a person's faith by how many rooms they have in their house. You cannot determine or judge a person's faith based upon how much money they have, not even by the cut, the clarity of the diamonds on their fingers. Amen. I know it's not popular, but if you want to measure a person's faith, you've got to measure their faith by their capacity to endure opposition, by their capacity to navigate circumstances without compromising their character. When you see how tough I am in the battle, how resilient I am in the fight, how relentless I am when all hell breaks loose, when you see me seek and hear me confessing that God is my healer, when you know I'm broke and hear me saying the Lord will provide, then you know I've got faith. Give him praise in this place.
Do you understand where you are? That if you're about anything, you're going to have to fight. Amen. Amen. So I heard Dr. King say that a man who will not stand for something will fall for anything. And my brothers and sisters, when you stand, and in particular, when you make up in your mind to stand for Christ, to stand for his church, to stand for his word, let me tell you, you're going to have to fight. As a matter of fact, can I say that if you don't have to fight, if you never have to fight, if you never have any struggles, if you don't have any enemies, if you don't have anybody lying on you or talking about you, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but there's a good chance you ain't doing nothing. Excuse my English. Amen. Because if you stand for something, you better accept the fact that you're going to be controversial. You've got to be prepared every now and then to roll up your sleeves, take off your shoes, take off that hair, pull off your earrings, put Vaseline on your face, and say, bring it on, baby. You want to fight? You got the right one. I've been in this word. I got faith all in my heart. Come on, devil. I'm ready for you. I got some word in me, and I'm ready to fight. And more importantly, I've got the power of the Holy Ghost living on the inside of me. Shoot me with your best shot. One thing I know is that I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. I don't need a bulletproof vest. I've got the blood of Jesus. I don't need any kind of artillery. I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. Where are my folk who said I'm ready to fight? Because I have faith. I got faith. I got faith. And I need to tell you that if you don't fight, the enemy ain't gonna stop until he gets your stuff. If you don't fight, he will take your house, take your kids, take your spouse's affection. If you don't fight, the enemy will take your job, seize your mind. Amen. Hand your honey over to some hound dog. If you don't fight, that's why Family Day was so important, because y'all need to know you got to fight for your family. You got to fight even for your marriage. Amen. There's somebody, and they call themselves your sister, your girlfriend. Amen. They looking at your man harder than you looking at it. They ain't visiting to see you. Amen, showing up to show him what they got. Amen. But when you walk by faith and not by sight, them devils can't fool you. Come on, where are my folk who are glad to know God has given you discernment? And when they show up at your door, you already know what they up to, and you can look at them and tell you got to get the hell. You got to get up out of here, because this is God's house. But please remember, win a fight. Let me give you some scripture, because Jesus said, I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. Don't rush past that. I'm sending you as lambs among wolves. You've got to see that, because what he's saying is that I'm sending you into a fight where it appears that the odds are against you. Lambs among wolves. And it's almost as if he's saying, I'm lining you up to be lamb chops. But that's why you have to have faith. Because faith allows you to seize what you cannot see. When all the odds are stacked against you, you need faith in order to fight. When it looks like the enemy is going to get the victory, and like David, you're standing with nothing but a rag and a rock, it's faith in your spirit that says, get to swinging, baby. Just use what you have and your giant will fall. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. End your pity party today. Get up. Dust your shoulders off and fight and fight and fight the good fight of faith. You don't have time for silly people and stupid stuff. There's a fight going on. Just shake the haters off and keep on grinding. Where are my folk who've made up in your minds, I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are spiritual, mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds.